to season 6 of Uncle Monster's Spooky Time Fright Hour, your source for the straight poop on all things supernatural. We're your hosts. My name is Chris Anderson, but if you went to high school with me, you can call me Shibble.
And I'm Ethan Sareski. And something crazy happened this morning. Shit. Uh-huh. I was in my closet, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, got boxes and some old stuff in it. And I
found
I found a Black Widow in my closet.
Oh, shit. I found one in my garage last year. It's scary, right? Ethan, we've got some late breaking news. That's right. It's our first ever season 6, A Cryptid Affair. This one comes to us from wildlife.org.
That sounds like a real source.
It is. Climate change is pushing vampire bats towards the U.S. As the bats move northward, incidences of rabies rise. Rabies is fucking scary, dude.
Yeah, what does it do to you again?
The scariest part to me is that it gives you hydrophobia. It's also always fatal. The actual scariest part is that it's almost definitely going to kill you.
So you're afraid of water even though you need it and you won't drink it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's torture.
Yes, it sounds absolutely horrible.
I got bitten by a dog and had to have rabies shots once, and it turned out the dog did not have rabies, but I got the shots.
Yeah, the good news is to find out if that dog had rabies, they almost definitely killed it.
Oh, no, it was my friend's dog. Okay, go ahead.
Vampire bats are heading northward, researchers found, and may reach the United States within a matter of decades. Vampire bats are currently only found in Latin America, as far north as Mexico. In a study published in Ecography, researchers found climate change is pushing the bats northward. Within 27 years, parts of the United States may offer a suitable home. With them comes a risk of rabies and vampirism.
I was about to say, and vampires.
Yeah, I'd be more worried about getting bitten by one and getting turned into a vampire. But once I mean, rabies, also very legitimate concern.
You know what? What would you rather, if you were guaranteed to be like a true blood vampire, like you know, like handsome and live forever and stuff? I mean, like you are now, but living forever.
Okay, perfect.
Would you rather that or rather the rabies?
Than a horrifying, painful death?
Well, it's supposed to be torture to live forever. I mean, that's also supposed to be not fun.
Well, you know, I bet it'd be okay. I'd go with the vampire. Well, I hate to say it, but I'd go with the vampirism.
Okay.
What we found was that the distribution of vampire bats was moved northward across time due to past climate change, which has corresponded with an increase in rabies cases in many Latin American countries, said TWS member Paige van der Voorst.
I bet she's pretty.
She is a PhD student at Virginia Tech and the lead author of a study about climate change and vampire bats.
So she's smart.
Smoking.
Smart and pretty.
It's true. Best of both worlds. God bless you, Paige van der Voorst. The Virginia Tech team plans to identify and track the vampire bats in Colombia to help contain the spread of rabies.
Well, that's excellent. I'm glad they're doing something about it, being proactive.
Yes, that was your Cryptid Affair. Well, Ethan, we might have some new listeners tune in for the first time, starting off with the first episode of season 6. Great choice, by the way. I can tell already it's going to be a barn burner.
Absolutely.
And they might not be familiar with the premise of the show.
Oh, no.
Ethan, why don't you tell somebody who's listening what this premise is all about?
Well, like all episodes and all seasons of Uncle Monster's Spooky Time Fright Hour, one of us, Shibble this week, has done extensive research on a ghost, ghoul, goblin, demon, or something to that effect. And the other one of us, me, Ethan, has done nothing except wait for this day when I can find out what this monster is. And what monster is it this week, Shibble?
This week, it is the Con Rit from Vietnam.
And tell them how you spell it so I can picture it.
That's C-O-N space R-I-T. Although, obviously, you would spell it not only differently in Vietnamese, but with an entirely different alphabet that I do not know.
I meant, how do you spell Vietnam? But thank you for that whole bit.
Fair enough, fair enough. Now, Ethan, I've got an exciting new segment for you.
Oh my God, a new segment?
Or should I say, it's not so much a new segment as it is a new bumper for an old classic that had been lacking a bumper this entire time.
Oh no.
Ethan, you're not familiar with the con rate.
No, I know nothing about the con rate. I mean, all I know is his name and it's from Vietnam. That's it.
Well, in that case, I'd like to invite you to enter your mind palace.
Memories. Things that happened to you as a child. Things that you saw on television. A book that you read. Things that never happened. Enter your mind palace.
Ethan, when you enter your mind palace...
And you love that. Yes, I would gladly enter my Hannibal Lecter mind palace.
When you do that, what do you see when you look for the con rate in your mind palace?
What is the con rate? Well, I had a few guesses.
Shoot.
When I saw con rate, like con R-I-T, I thought it stood for the Convict Rehabilitation Institute.
Okay.
And like Cameron Poe would be there and he's just trying to make it back to his family. Mm-hmm. And he misses his daughter, and he's going to make sure that stuffed animal gets to her no matter what.
Yeah, because it's her birthday.
It's her birthday, and he's been in jail for 7 years.
Well, the one thing that he didn't count on was Cyrus the virus. And the one thing that you didn't count on was the fact that that was not correct.
That's
okay. Do you
have
any other guesses?
That's fine. I have other guesses.
Good. I won't play the theme again.
That would be funny. My second theory is that Conreet is Connor.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I read it as Connor, right? And I was like, right, Connor.
Okay. It's not Connor.
Oh, okay. So it's not Connor and it's not Cameron Poe.
No, it's neither of those two gentlemen.
Okay. Last guess. I saw Conreet, like Conreet. So maybe it's a little Vietnamese boy named Conreet. And he puts a Native American in his cupboard, but it never comes to life because the cupboard is just for storing things.
Okay. Like an Indian in the cupboard, but in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. See, that I didn't realize. Yeah, Omri, Conri, that's what it was. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right.
Well, that's all right. You came very close. No, you didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
But the good news is I could tell you all about the Conri. I've done all the research that we need, and I've assembled the information necessary in the style that you learn best.
Oh my God, you must be thinking of narrative fiction.
I am.
That means it's story time. It's story time. It's story time. It's story time with Uncle Monster.
Story time.
It's story time. It's story time. It's story time with Uncle Monster. Story time.
Being a pirate is not all it's cracked up to be, you think to yourself as you look out across the South China Sea. As a boy growing up in Hanoi, you loved pirate books, pirate stories, pirate movies. You loved the freedom, the swashbuckling adventure. You would crack open your translation of Treasure Island and imagine the wind at your back and the spray of salt water in your face. You would take your bed sheet and fasten it to your mother's broom and make a mast, turning your bed into a clipper ship, yelling, "Shiver me timbers!" to your stuffed animals. Unfortunately for you, Captain Long Juan Silver, you okay?
Long Juan Silver. Oh my God. Oh, that got me.
Unfortunately for you, Captain Long Juan Silver, being a real pirate captain is nothing like you imagined. For example, you're not expecting the majority of your crew to have been drummed out of the Vietnamese Navy for smoking crystal meth. While they were fine enough soldiers and bloodthirsty enough for your purposes, they just weren't what you imagined. You remembered your first night with your crew, heading below deck, ready to buy their loyalty with a bottle of rum and a round of sea shanties, only to find them all smoking glass, idly picking scabs off of their faces, or furiously masturbating their flaccid penis. The raids have not lived up, either. You rarely encounter fair damsels to seduce with your feats of daring do. You never find galleons floating low, heavy with Spanish gold. Your average haul has been a few shipping containers of off-brand consumer electronics that you've been able to sell to a fence named Gooper for pennies on the dollar. Even your own ship is not what you had hoped. You decide to let the crew name it as a sign of your faith in them. You campaigned hard for the name the Zephyr, but the votes were tallied, and the crew went with the SS Laser Ape. It is what it is, as they say in Hanoi. Your dream might not have come true the way you had hoped, but you came closer than most. You sip your morning tea and slip a biscuit to your parrot, Percival. There are bugs in my skin! There are bugs in my skin! Squawk! Woo! He squawks. You stroke Percival under his beak. I know, Percy. You're a good parrot. You take out your spyglass and survey the horizon. There, to your aft, is a small cargo freighter, dead in the water. She's no Spanish galleon, and Lord knows why she's just sitting there, but she's a fat hen ready to be plucked. Get on deck, you scurvy dogs! There's booty on the horizon! You yell below deck. Your second mate, Mr. Nguyen, downs the last of a bottle of hand sanitizer before throwing it at you. Shut the fuck up, he says. Come on, guys. The boat isn't even moving. It's easy money. Money for meth. With a grumble, they assume their positions on deck. As you approach the ship, you realize why the ship is dead. The whole crew lies dead on the deck of that ship. The SS Beautiful Sunset. Some of them had the flesh seared off their bodies. Some have large chunks ripped out of their torsos with black ooze coating the open wounds. You draw your cutlass, and your crew draws their assorted assault rifles. You cautiously board the ship and tread lightly over the corpses. As you cross to the far side, you see the source of all this carnage. There, poking its massive head above the railing, is a giant centipede. Its 2-foot-long mandibles dripping with toxic venom. Your men have enough sense to open fire, but the bullets bounce off its thick hide with a resounding metallic clang. The beast turns towards you and your crew. With murder in its eyes, it spits a torrent of steaming hot water at Mr. Nguyen, and it collapses to the deck, screaming as his skin melts off his skull. It turns towards you, and it bites you clean in half. You look down at yourself and think of all the times you dreamed of having a peg leg. Looks like you'll need 2 now. You laugh to yourself, Captain Long Juan Silver, and then you die. The latest victim of the Conreit.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you had me at Long Juan Silver. Oh, that something about
he was
about
a fun
that.
Character.
Oh.
Just a little Vietnamese boy that dreamed of becoming a pirate, and one day he did it.
Yeah, I you know, it's inspiring. I like that story.
Yeah, you know.
Should be a kid's book.
Yeah. I'll write a kid's book about the guy who found himself on a boat full of meth addicts.
And then went on a boat full of corpses and was murdered by a centipede.
Yes, murdered by the Conreet, a giant centipede.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a big boy and he's pretty nasty, so I'm pretty excited to get into it.
Well, let's do it. Let's find out about this Conreet.
Well, the Conreet is a 60-foot long centipede.
Stop it.
60 feet long, 3 feet wide.
So that's two-thirds of a basketball court. How wide?
3 feet wide.
Oh, okay. That's still huge.
Yes, still very big. And it lives off the coast of Vietnam in the South China Sea. Specifically, most of the stories are centered around How Long Bay, which is, I believe, in the north.
It'd be like 5 minutes. Oh, I thought you said How Long Bay.
Boy, I'm glad she came back.
She was offended that you didn't like her.
So, Conreet actually means centipede in Vietnamese.
Oh, is that okay?
So, now that we've got this big picture, does Layla have any facts for us this week?
Well, we have Layla Presents Con Air Facts.
Okay.
Layla Presents Con Air Facts.
Number one, what's the plot?
Cameron Poe, a highly decorated Army Ranger, returns to his wife Trisha in Alabama only to run into a few abusive and violent drunks. Cameron accidentally kills one of the drunks and is sent to prison for 7 years. Mm. He becomes eligible for parole, but unfortunately, Cameron has to share a prison airplane with some of the country's most dangerous criminals who take control of the plane and plan to escape the country. Can Cameron stop them in time?
Yeah, he just wants to get home to his dumbass daughter.
Yeah, he wants to give her a present.
Yeah, he wants to give her a bunny rabbit.
You know what's funny? He really loves her, and I bet you just because he went to jail and missed all that time, she'll hate him anyway.
Yeah, that's the real tragedy. But, you know, he did everything he could to write letters to her every birthday, every holiday, pretty much every ding-dang day. He did everything he could.
That's absolutely true. That is backed up by canon.
So, you know, hopefully they can start to rebuild, which is all that he wants in the world. Fact number two.
Number two. Let's hear the movie's taglines.
Yes.
Con Air. One wrong flight can ruin your whole day.
It's true.
Yeah, that's more of a fact. Con Air. Buckle up. June 6th.
It's true. You should buckle up every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the safe thing to do. Con Air. Get ready to fly.
I will.
Con Air. Buckle up.
Wow. Now, so this time they dropped the date. That was for other countries when it would get released on different days.
Exactly. Or if they use a different calendar like Israel.
It's true.
Con Air. They were deadly on the ground. Now they have wings.
That sounds more like something that happened in Gremlins 2. I don't know if that's the right vibe.
No, but I like that one the best. That's what I would have gone with.
That's fair.
Number three, John Malkovich plays Cyrus the Virus.
John Malkovich was unhappy during production because the script was being rewritten every day, and he had no idea how his character was going to turn out. And that sounds awful.
Yeah, that especially for, you know, an actor that takes his craft as seriously as a John Malkovich.
Yeah, imagine if they talked to De Niro about Raging Bull and they're like, we're not sure how this ends.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, go gain some weight for the part.
Yeah, speaking of gaining weight, John Malkovich got bulked up for that movie.
Yeah, absolutely he did.
Jacked in that movie.
A lot of those guys were big for that movie. Danny Trejo was huge.
Yeah, and you don't think of like John Malkovich as like a guy that would bulk up.
No.
He looked like a fucking Goldberg.
No, he was a unit.
Wow. Okay, so back to the Conreet. Now, because details on sightings of Conreet are kind of few and far between, I was able to infer some information about the Conreet just from what we know about regular centipedes.
Oh, that's smart.
So in a regular centipede, each segment will have two legs, but the Conreet, instead of having legs, it has either fins or flippers, depending on what you want to call them, because it's an aquatic animal.
But so, does it go on land as well?
Yeah. No, not very much.
Oh, okay, not much. Okay.
Kind. It's very. It's definitely a sea monster.
Mm-hmm.
It has. Now, if it had two fins or flippers per second, it would be a millipede. But since it only has one, that's how we know it's a centipede.
That's the difference, huh?
Yes.
Two legs per section is a millipede. One is a centipede.
Yeah, two sets of legs.
Two set, right. That's awesome. I'm glad I learned that.
It'd be weird if a centipede had one leg per second and just had to hop. Now, the segments are about 3 feet long and 3 feet across. Ugh. And the head is roughly the size of an office desk, I want to say. It's brown in color with a yellow belly.
Oh, it's a coward.
Yeah, it is a yellow belly for sure. That's why it doesn't come up here and fight us very often.
It's true. We don't see it often.
Now, in terms of combat capabilities, this is a pretty bad boy. First of all, you got the 2 foot long mandible pincers up front.
Do they have poison, did you say?
Yes, they are venomous. Most centipedes are venomous. It also, the carapace it has does prevent it from forming a tight enough coil. Like, I don't think it could constrict you.
Which ones have the most fabulous carapace?
Oh, that's going to be the globsters.
The gay lobsters. Okay, I was just wondering. I was, you know, when we talk about carapace, I need to bring it up.
Yeah, no, that's fair. This guy does have, indeed, a carapace. And I think the carapace is going to impact its flexibility. I don't think it could constrict a man-sized opponent.
Okay, well, we'll take away that skill for fight, right?
Fairly well, though.
Yeah.
The carapace is also said to be as hard as steel.
So am I. I got you with a sex joke.
No, yeah. Yeah, in fact, that's the horny alarm.
The purge is... Oh, that's the horny alarm. Okay.
That's the horny alarm.
All weapons below class 4 are legal.
Now, it's also said to be able to spit boiling hot water.
What a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it will boil your flesh off of your body.
Yeah, hot enough. It'll melt the skin right off, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like in the story, right?
Yeah. Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Now, tales of the Conreet go back hundreds of years in Vietnam, but it was first brought to the attention of the West by a director of Oceanographic Fisheries Service of Indochina. His name was Dr. Armand Krempf. This is back in the 1920s, back when we had a French Indochina.
Right.
So.
There were cool stamps from back then, too.
Yeah, yeah, great stamps, obviously. Lots of great colonies.
Oh, yeah, colonies are great, yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, Vietnam was part of French Indochina, along with Cambodia, Laos, and some of regular China. Now, French colonialism obviously brought its fair share of economic exploitation and oppression of the Viet, Cambodian, Laotian, and Chinese people. But it wasn't all bad. We also got the banh mi sandwich.
I think Laotian is the prettiest name for a people.
I think it's a very musical name.
Yeah.
And it also gave Western academics greater access to this part of the world, which is how Dr. Armand Krempf was able to find out about the Conreet. He was a marine biologist and the director of the Oceanographic Institute. He has had a species of nudibranch named after him.
Oh, that's nice.
Philidiopsis krempfia. Philidiopsis krempfia.
One more time? Also, you want to go a third time?
Yeah, the Philidiopsis krempfia.
Well, you got it. The third time you nailed it.
Yeah, I crushed that one.
Yeah.
Thank you. He was a published author. He wrote a book called La Pêche en Indochine.
The Fish of Indochina.
Correct. So very legit source.
Dr. Yeah, well, it sounds like exactly what we need for this sort of story.
Absolutely. We don't want to go to some Yahoo.
Yeah.
We want to go straight to Dr. Armand Krempf.
On the strength of the Krempf, says the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes. So he was doing field research when he met a man named Tran Von Kahn.
Now, is he Vietnamese or just royalty of some random, like, that's a weird name.
No, the Von Kahn makes it sound like he's like a Habsburg or something.
Right, yeah, exactly. I don't know if he's a Rothschild or like, no. You know, like some Cambodian dude.
It might be pronounced Tran Van Kahn. His middle name is V-A-N.
I would pronounce it Von if I were him.
Yeah. Well, Tran Von Kahn told Dr. Krempf about a time roughly 40 years earlier, back in 1883, when Tran Von Kahn was just a boy and he saw Khan Reap.
Oh.
It had washed ashore in Hong Gai off of Ha Long Bay. Tran Von Kahn described the creature as being dead at the time. The head had not come ashore.
Oh.
It had rotted. You could say it might have been a bit of a globster at the time.
Oh, I see. Understandable.
Listeners, the term globster came up in a previous cryptid affair, and it can either mean alternately just a fabulous lobster, or it can mean a sort of half-rotted animal corpse that comes out of the sea and it's rotten to the point where you can't easily tell what it is.
Both fabulous.
Yeah, both fabulous in their own way. So what he saw might have been a globster of a Khan Reap.
That is so involved. You just said it could have been a globster of a Khan Reap. Like, that is so deep into it.
Yeah, no, we're picking up some great new vocab.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, the head did not come ashore, as I said, but he did describe the segmented body, the 3 feet wide, 60 feet long. He also said that if you hit one of the segments with a stick, its carapace would sound like you were banging on sheet metal.
Oh.
Now, unfortunately, nobody hung on to any of the remains of this corpse because it smelled insanely bad.
Forget science. That thing stinks.
No, so they had it towed out to sea.
Really?
Yeah, and just deposited it back out far enough where it wouldn't wash back ashore. Because it really just, it reeked. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in, like, a lot of insects, like, smelled like a bunch of insects together. Just like a, like, I would have to deliver live crickets sometimes.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and I don't know if you ever smelled, like, a box of crickets.
Mm-mm.
It just smells gross. And I imagine if they were all dead, it wouldn't help.
You know, I fed my Professor Wiggles, Layla and I's snake. We used to feed him mice, but they were already dead. You just had to cook them up first, make them warm. And they didn't smell.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
No, the box of crickets definitely smelled. And also every now and then someone would order some like bees that would include a queen bee. And bees smell like shit.
Is that right?
Oh, God.
What interesting information. Bees smell like shit. Like, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was gross.
Did B. Arthur smell like shit?
Probably not. She was a fabulous woman.
She was a handsome woman.
Appreciated the finer things.
That's true. That's true.
But also, that reminds me of, speaking of this big stinky corpse on the shore, did you ever see that video of the whale explosion?
Oh, when they blow up the dead whale?
Yeah.
That's gross.
Just a classic. Ugh. Just being like, this ought to take care of it. This will just turn it into a fine mist. We won't have to worry. It'll basically atomize this whale, and then you get like whale chunks the size of television from 1985 falling into the roof of your car.
I would take home a dead piece of whale and put it on the shelf or something.
But keep in mind, it smells fucking awful.
So does my place.
Your place looks very lovely.
Oh, thank you. I was being a little self-deprecating. It smells all right. No, the dog doesn't help it. But.
No. What dog does?
Yeah.
Now, there are reports of other giant sea centipedes from around the world.
Of course.
that match the description of the Conreet. So it might just be that the Conreet was sort of where it was first sort of observed and brought to the regular, like, general scientific community's knowledge. You know what I mean?
So he may be a worldwide cryptid and just was seen in Vietnam first.
Yeah. Yeah. Just seen mostly, or maybe like Vietnam is like a global breeding ground.
Oh, that might be where they go to. So
they
would
congregate there. But it is possible that, yeah, these other ones are the same beast and it is a global phenomenon. The most notable of these other sightings was in 1899. On May 21st.
Hmm.
Now, a Lieutenant Boothby was serving watch on the HMS Narcissus when at 5 a.m. he spotted what he described in his lieutenant's log as a, quote, sea monster, unquote. And it was off the port bow, which I looked it up. That's the front left.
Yeah, port is the front, right?
No, bow is the
front. Bow is the front.
Port and is the left. Okay, starboard I'm is
not
the right.
Good at, I'm not good at... I don't go on boats because there are sharks in water.
It's true. There are sharks in some waters.
Yeah. I don't want to chance which water it is, so I just stay away from boats.
That's fair. I my dad did... he was part of like a local like sailing team.
Oh, that's cool.
My brother was on it, and my dad wanted me to join up, but I just got way too nervous. I was not comfortable on the boat.
I'm with you. I don't love boats. I don't like the ocean that much.
I like the ocean a lot, but something about it just really made me anxious.
I find it incredibly interesting. I just don't want to be in it because you can't see what's coming towards you. Like that, I don't dig that.
No, I always was afraid that the boat was going to tip over because yachts have to like really lean when they're catching the wind.
Yeah.
And I always was afraid of us capsizing.
Oh God.
Yeah, I'd hate.
Who needs that?
Yeah, I don't need that kind of anxiety when I'm 13. I was a mess when I was 13.
Me too.
Yeah. So, at 5 a.m., Lieutenant Boothby describes seeing a sea monster off the port bow, which we've learned is the front left. Now, if I was going to say aft starboard, that would be the back right. So, which way is the bow, Ethan?
What do you mean?
Bow. If I said something's off the back, correct.
And starboard is the back.
No.
Or port, whatever you said.
Nope. Starboard is the right.
Oh, okay. Starboard is right. Bow is front. Port is left.
Yes, and aft is back.
Aft is the one I didn't know. Okay.
So now we all actually learned something.
Yeah, no, this was an educational episode. I like that we got something out that someone can say they didn't know. That's good.
Yeah. Now, while he and the other sailors were on deck that morning, they could not see the head because it was staying below water. But they did see its distinctive, like, length and silhouette, the sort of 60 feet long, 3 feet wide vibe, and that it had dozens and dozens of fins. So it couldn't be like a whale.
It's also millipede shaped, in case you were wondering if it's a whale.
Yeah, it was able to keep pace with the Narcissus, so we know that it can move at least 10 knots.
And the boat was like, I could do 20, and I'm handsome.
No, the Narcissus, you've fallen in love with your own reflection.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, what a bad boat I am.
Your top speed is 10 knots. I looked it up on Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lied.
Sorry, HMS Narcissus.
Now sorry, Captain.
You're cursed. Yes. Apologize to Lieutenant Boothby.
Yeah, really, that's who I owe it to.
Well, that sort of comes to the end of my Conreet research.
Not a lot about this one, huh?
No, not too much. Just these sort of two sightings. But it is a giant badass centipede.
So oh, this is an amazing cryptid. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and well, and we'll have some more later on, but tell me, do you have any more
Layla presents Con Air Facts?
Number 4. Director Jerry Bruckheimer is known for killing members of the crew.
Con Air is dedicated to Phil Swartz, an effects specialist who died during filming when a rigged plane fell and crushed him.
Oh, Jesus.
This is actually the second Bruckheimer production where there was a plane-related death on set. 11 years earlier, Art Scholl, a pilot slash cameraman, died during the filming of Top Gun, 1986, when his plane failed to recover from a spin and plunged into the Pacific and killed him.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's all. I mean, Bruckheimer, you'd think after the first time, be more careful.
Yeah, this guy, he's got to be put down.
Number five, the movie really shows the Sands Hotel being demolished.
Hmm.
The Las Vegas scenes were filmed at the legendary Sands Hotel prior to its demolition in late 1996. Mm-hmm. When the production team heard about the city's intentions, they immediately scheduled a multiple camera setup to take advantage of the rare event, which is what you actually see in the movie.
So they also killed the Sands. Yeah, Bruckheimer, you've got to be stopped. I think Jerry Bruckheimer is dead.
Number six, Con Air's theme song sucked. Or did it?
Or did it?
The Con Air theme song, How Do I Live? I wish I had pulled that up. Was nominated for both an Oscar as Best Original Song and a Razzie as Worst Original Song, but it did not win either.
Now, How Do I Live by Leanne Rimes? That's a classic.
Oh, that is. It's a young Leanne Rimes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can't give that a Razzie. Please, the Razzies are such a joke. Well, that situation sounds crazy. But also, the Conrad sounds pretty crazy, too.
Also crazy, yeah.
Yeah. But can it love?
A werewolf ate my dad, but it's not so bad. It might sound crazy, but can it love? Can it give me a kiss? Can it hold my hand? Would it say I love you? Does it understand? Does it know that I've never felt this way before? There's a full moon tonight. It's so romantic. And this might sound crazy, but can it love? Can it love?
Well, what do you think, Ethan? Can this giant killer centipede monster from the depths of the oceans fall in love?
Here, I have a question. Is there definitely only one? Is it a cryptid singular or is it a species?
I'm going to say it's a species. I feel like you're seeing them all over the world. I feel like species. It says species to me.
Okay, so we know they reproduce, which doesn't mean love, of course, no. But it does mean a physical connection, and sometimes a physical connection can lead to more of an emotional one. And I know that centipedes are known for their sweet nature.
It's true.
Yeah. So
that's
I would think that during procreation, it would be like, oh, we're just making another conrate, you know? And then he'd be like, but she is cute, and she seems really nice. So I think, yeah, I think it can love. Begrudgingly.
Right. Okay, you think it's like the bad boy at the beginning of the romantic comedy.
Right.
That, oh, he's a real love him and leave him type. And then he meets the Liberty Gibbet, other Conrad. And he's like, oh, this lady, I'm going to bone her and it's going to be nothing to me. But then he respects her.
Wouldn't that be a good romantic comedy?
That would be a great romantic comedy featuring these two aquatic centipede monsters.
Oh, no. I was thinking about, like, Jennifer Aniston, like Connie and Conrite, like a human centipede thing.
Okay, between the two of them.
And they would both have the Rachel haircut.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, good.
So that leads me to my next question. What would be your first date with a Conrite?
I think I would like to take it to... the high school track near my house at Fairfield High. And I think I would like to take it for a ride. I think we'd have fun going around and around really fast and just laughing and telling jokes and saying, "Woo, look at the wind in our hair and how much fun we're having." And then afterwards, we can set up a picnic, you know, by the field where we can have a basket filled with, humans. So humans and also chocolate. I like chocolate.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. just watch out for when she's like, I'll bite of mine for a bite of yours.
Yeah, because I might just be so in love that I'm like, sure, you know, and then
it's going to be an awkward situation. And then you'll have the taste for man flesh.
I was about to say, then I'll be like, God, this is really good.
This is, forget this chocolate. My first date with the Conreet. Okay, let me see. Big. She likes. All right, I'm going to keep her near the water.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Nice. I'm going to go to the pebble beaches of Nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, a little bottle of champagne.
Ooh.
And see where the night takes us. See if we can find out whether or not this giant centipede can fuck.
That sounds crazy, but can fuck.
What do you think?
It does sound crazy, but can it fuck? I'm going to say yes, because we're going with them as a species, and I think that anything that phallic in nature, I think, is naturally sexy. Like, it just feels sexy, and it's like, I want to... Was that the gale
alarm? That's the horny alarm.
Oh, I'm horny for the centipede. Yes, that's the horny alarm. The purge is the horny alarm.
Yeah.
And I can only use weapons of class 4 or lower. No, I think that it definitely can procreate. It definitely can fuck, as you put it so crassly. Yeah.
Well, hey, I calls them like I sees them. We're not. This segment isn't about whether or not it can make love. This segment is not about whether or not it can procreate. This segment is about whether or not it can fuck.
That's a good point. I apologize.
And I'm going to say that it can fuck. It's just got that vibe.
What position do you think it likes?
I think the positions, because of its body proportions, it has positions that we don't even have the names of. You know what I mean?
Like centipede style. Like
the double corkscrew, the duck penis.
The carapace.
The loop-de-loop. The 88.
Oh, that sounds Hitlerish.
Oh, yeah, geez. Yeah, that one is considered problematic these days.
You twist your bodies in the shape of a swastika and you do sex.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the 88.
You would think that would be just two of them doing 88s, but that's actually the double infinities. They look at it the other way when they're doing it. It's fight night.
Fight. It's fight night, and our first battle in this corner, we have the Conreet, that Vietnamese millipede or centipede?
Centipede.
That Vietnamese centipede that
you can
eats,
tell from the number of legs.
That you can tell from the number of legs that murders humans versus 7'1", 369 and a third pound, prime Shaquille O'Neal. This is a good one.
Yeah. I'm gonna say you're gonna need more than one check.
I disagree.
Well, I know, Shaq, and part of your confidence, I think, is both your strength and your downfall.
I have a beautiful carapace as well.
It's true. I can't take that away from you.
Thank you, Sybil.
That being said, your carapace, is it as hard as steel? I know you played steel later on in your career.
It's as hard as Kazam.
Yeah, it's as hard as your amazing new song, Let the Thotties Hit the Floor.
Did he do a song called that?
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's not as good as You Know I Got Skills.
No, it's not. I'm going to say you're going to need 5 shacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's 60 feet long, 5 shacks. That's 35 feet worth of shacks, so that's about half. I think that's a really good guess.
Yeah, I think you're going to need one of them as a distraction. The other two are just going to be trying to, like, rip apart 2 segments. Just
grabbing, or taking away its fins.
Yeah, peeling off the carapace like a giant thumbnail.
Gross.
Yes, truly a horrific task. I do not envy these 5 shacks.
We envy you, Shibble.
I don't know if all five of y'all are coming back, but I wish you luck.
As long as I do, the other four can fuck themselves.
Number two, round two, we have the Con Reach from Vietnam versus the real Lin Shay, Lin Shay from Insidious, and Lin Shay from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. So one of them is a school nurse.
School teacher.
School teacher, yes.
One of them is the wife of Robert Shay.
One of them is just famous actress Lin Shay.
Right.
And one of them is a medium.
That's correct.
None of them are going to have the particular skill set I think you'd need to be taking on a Con Reet. And as I didn't hear any weapons on there, I'm going to have to put this one on the Con Reet.
You're absolutely right. It would murder those Lin Shays. Round three. We have the Con Reet from Vietnam versus a Cyclops wearing a headband.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. They're allowed to wear headbands.
It's troublesome for them.
Why?
Because it covers their eye.
Why wouldn't they put it on their forehead?
That's where their eye is.
No, their eye is in between where their eyes would be.
That is not how they depict Cyclopses.
Cyclopes can have foreheads above where their eye is. So then it's just a Cyclops wearing a blindfold.
Okay, so now he... Okay. I'll change it. He's wearing a headband and it's not over his eye. Okay.
Okay. Cyclopes, they're going to be about 30 feet tall, as I recall.
They're giants like that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're pretty big. That's why that one was able to take an entire log in his eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
That said, the venom Con Reet is going to, I think, be the deciding factor in this one. I think that's going to slow him down pretty quick. I'm going to put this one on the Con Reet.
You are correct. Round four, we have the Con Reet from Vietnam versus the Yakuza, which is five Japanese gangsters who are riding oxen towards you.
Okay. I was imagining that they were the oxen.
No.
Okay. No, they're just skilled.
They're tattooed riding. Oxen in a bathhouse.
Yeah. And all the other bathers are uncomfortable.
Yeah. Nice tattoos, man.
Yeah. Then we're just going to... You guys can have this one. We'll find another...
Yeah, we'll find another jacuzzi, yeah.
It's good. Okay, and there are five of them. Those yaks will give them some mobility. Are they... I'm assuming it's some sort of shallow water.
Yeah, water. And they're armed with whatever they would be armed with.
Okay, so probably guns.
Right, or a sword.
One might have a sword as well, but I'm going to say they're all going to at least have...
Oh, definitely they'll have guns, yeah.
But those guns aren't going to do much against that steely carapace.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to put this on the Con Reet.
Round five.
Great snack day for him.
It is a great snack day for the Con Reet, who is now fighting Harry Potter's adoptive family, and the fight takes place on the waterfront off of 4 Privet Drive.
Okay, so that was obviously his aunt and uncle and cousin.
Vernon, Petunia, and Dudley.
Vernon, Petunia, Dudley. And they're there. And they're still, they've got these bad attitudes. They're like, Harry Potter sucks.
Don't talk about the M word.
I don't like Harry Potter because he sucks. He's corny.
The uncle didn't like him because he was corny?
Yeah, that's fucking corny all the time.
What a loser.
This dumb bullshit. Oh, he's got a wand.
Was that Paul McCartney at the end? Yeah. He's got a wand.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put this one on the Con Reet. Now, they don't have much to defend themselves beyond their bad attitudes.
That is correct. Round six, we have the Con Reet versus Damien Thorne at age 6.
Okay, Damien Thorne, famously the Omen.
Yeah, the Antichrist from the Omen.
The Antichrist. He's got a lot of tricks.
But he's only 6 in this scenario.
At this point. But even then, I mean, he was fending off priests.
Yeah.
He was fending, you know, I'm pretty sure the devil would just, like, kill the Con Reet. I think yeah, the devil, this is like the devil's main thing. He's paying a lot of attention to this. He's not going to let an outside player like the Conreet
get in on his plan. You're absolutely right. That the Conreet takes that one. Now we have the Conreet.
The devil takes that one.
The Conreet versus Mike Johnson and Covenant Eyes.
Okay. Okay. The web service that our Speaker of the House uses to make sure that his son is not looking at pornography.
And also for his son to make sure he isn't looking at pornography.
Yeah, they use that to make sure neither of them are looking at pornography. A very normal thing to do with your father.
I wouldn't do that with you.
I would not do that with my wife. I would not do that with anyone on the planet.
As a joke, maybe.
No. Not even as a joke.
It's weird. Yeah, you're
right. Not doing that.
You don't have those covenant eyes, do you?
No, I'm not covenantized like that. And also, I'm going to say this. If it was my father, I'm pretty sure I could find a way around covenant eyes.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure Mike Johnson finds a way around it as well.
Yeah, just be like, turn off covenant eyes.
Only monitor kid.
Yeah. Give me my other phone.
If I was his kid, I would just look up the worst porn and have him be like, son, have to address it with me every night.
I got your latest Covenant Eyes report.
So stepsisters, is it?
I gotta say, I don't think that lady was actually stuck in that washer dryer.
You're saying Mike Johnson's son is a free use searcher?
I think he's got his own picadillos, and hey, God bless.
Round eight.
One of the Conreet.
The final round. We have the Conreet versus the Hell's Angels, which is a bunch of bikers armed with protractors.
Okay. Bikers can be pretty tough. I'm assuming that these are not just math bikers who took up the name as a pun, but rather Hell's Angels that somehow got into math.
Yes, that is. They were Hell's Angels first before they discovered their love of, angles and shapes.
Yeah. Well, protractors, kind of sharp.
Kind of. Known for that, yeah.
Yeah, they got the pointy end. But I don't think they're going to be able to get through that carapace. And the biker is pretty tough in and of themselves. How many of them are there?
It's the Hell's Angels.
Entire chapter, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be 20 guys. Yeah, I could put this one on the Hell's Angels. I could see them stepping up to the plate.
That's super cool. I love that they took a battle. Who won't be with them is the head of the chapter in Germany.
Oh, yeah. Mustafa.
Mustafa.
B.
Mustafa B. Tell the audience what happened to Mustafa B.
Mustafa B was a leader of the German branch of the biker gang, the Mongols. And he was out riding his motorcycle, but it turns out he did not know how. And so he crashed his motorcycle and died. R.I.P.
R.I.P. to a real one.
Mustafa B.
Oh, and that, Shibby, was fight night.
Hooray!
Yay!
Ethan, do you have any more?
Lalo presents Con Air Fan.
Number 7. The filming was full of toxic masculinity.
Get out of town. Con Air.
I thought they were sensitive all. Well, Steve Buscemi seems like a smart guy.
No, Steve Buscemi Nick Cage seems like a smart guy.
Is he?
I mean, he seems like an interesting guy. He seems like a genuine artist.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I don't know if he strikes me as incredibly bright.
John Malkovich doesn't strike me as particularly toxic, although I'm not quite sure why.
Right. And Danny Trejo's a nice guy, so I don't know how this happened. Yep. But according to Danny Trejo, there was a ton of tough guy competition, and there were large egos on the set. For example, when one guy would spit on the floor, just like doing that in the middle of the scene, a little improv, the others would immediately imitate it and try to spit even further.
Mm.
Can you imagine that? You're like, oh, the plane's going down. You spit, and the guy next to you spits and goes, that was further.
I'm going to say that this was probably mostly amongst extras.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Not the star. The stars probably are comfortable enough.
Yeah, just the dudes that they hired that were just like juicers. Like, we just need the biggest dudes we can find. Tell Central Casting, send down 10 big dudes.
They were probably all bouncers, too.
Yeah.
Number 8. Con Air had one crazy casting process.
Jason Isaacs revealed a story in an interview when he tried out for the role of Cyrus the Virus. Mm. He was unsuccessful, by the way. His audition included performing a scene with a handgun, so he picked up a nearby pencil as a prop. But the camera assistant lifted up his shirt and offered him the real gun tucked into his waistband. Mm. Isaacs freaked out, and the director, Simon West, was as wide-eyed as he was. He'd been working with the assistant for many years and had no idea he was just strapped constantly.
Wow. What a... You're off my set, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Because first of all, we're going to have way too many prop guns around here. I do not want a real gun up in the mix.
Exactly.
That is a recipe for disaster. You are fucking fired.
Number 9. The French title would have been funnier.
The film was called Les Ailes de l'Enfer, The Wings of Hell in France.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Con in French is actually a slang word for dumb people. So it would have been dumb air.
Yeah. Yeah. That wouldn't play.
It would have for me. If they called it dumb air and had Nicolas Cage like have an action movie, I would have loved it.
I mean, I love Con Air as it is. It's a fantastic movie.
Number 10. Bonus fact. Kid Rock and Con Air.
Kid Rock based the song American Badass on Cameron Poe. He's such a fucking loser.
It's true, but he's right. Cameron Poe was an American badass.
Yeah, usually you write when you write a song about like the hurricane and you're Bob Dylan, it's a fucking real person, you idiot.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, let's face it. He was one American badass.
Cameron Poe rings out in a barroom night. He's home from prison.
I can tell that you're quaking in your boots.
I don't think I've been this scared in months. I mean, I'm horrified.
You live relatively close to a body of water.
I do, and there could be a cone reed in it.
There could be a 60-foot-long venomous centipede ready to spit boiling hot water all over your face.
Oh, and melt my skin off my skull. I wouldn't like that at all.
No, it makes you almost wonder, is this thing real?
Wait, is real? Check it, Bavakasha.
Hey! Well, it's always tough to say. The ocean is so big, it right? Is. And obviously, Dr. Krempf, a man of science, a man of letters, who am I to question Dr. Armand Krempf of the French Indochina Oceanographic Institute? That said, there are a couple of theories about other things that the Conrite could be.
Tell me. Let's hear what else. What are the theories?
Based on some aspects of the description that was given by Tran Von Kahn.
The heiress in Vietnam.
Tran Von Kahn might have seen just a whale spine. It might have been the spinal column of a whale.
Those are really, how big are those?
Those can get pretty big. I mean, you got to figure a whale can get 60 feet long.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know much about the ocean.
And, you know, obviously there can be some exaggerations of memories from a childhood, you know.
Of course.
But you can also see, like, the little parts of the spinal column that stick out looking kind of like little flappers or little flippers, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Other theories? You remember the name Heuvelmans? You remember Heuvelmans? He came up a couple episodes. I've been seeing a lot of Heuvelmans in my research lately.
Yeah, well, it's a very popular name. I don't know if they're really related.
No, there's one dude, Dr. Heuvelmans. Dr. Heuvelmans.
Yeah, Heuvelman.
Dr. Heuvelmans.
Heuvelman.
Apparently big in the cryptozoology world. I'm going to have to do some more research into this Heuvelmans.
Wait, bigger than us or like same?
I'm gonna say we're probably as impactful as Dr. Heuvelmans.
I thought so.
I have yet to see us be cited as a source anywhere in my research. But to be fair, I also don't spend a lot of time researching things that we've already done.
That's true.
But I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere somebody did.
That'd be hilarious. And it's probably wrong.
Heuvelmans, as you recall, was a cryptozoologist. He thinks another possibility is that it is some sort of living fossil of an ancient species of plated whale.
I didn't know they had plated whales. That's cool.
I guess they did. It was like a whale that was like an armadillo kind of situation.
That's dope.
That also might have had more than this number of flippers you might expect. So keep an eye out for giant mutant plated whales.
And that don't mistake them for conreite.
Yeah, it might, or it, don't mistake your conreite for massive plated whales. Or maybe, you know, if you see either of them, let us know. It's relevant to this episode for sure. Is that the red light from Uncle Monster?
Oh.
Hello!
How are you, Uncle Monster? So great to see you, buddy.
It's great to see you. I'm doing pretty good today.
Oh, excellent. And I had a question for you because I don't know what to do sometimes in between episodes. I get so bored. Do you have any suggestions?
I think you should watch a movie.
What a great idea, but which one?
You should probably watch Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen.
What's that about?
I don't know. I watched it, and it mostly just seemed to be about wrestling metal spaghetti.
Hey!
Hey, is that Uncle Monster too?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Boy, I'm doing great. Listen, do you have a movie recommendation for us?
Hey, you know what I found in my closet?
No.
I'm just joking. Yeah, I have a movie for you to watch, and this is going to get you through to the next episode. You're going to love it, Chibble.
Yes.
If your black lab was almost kidnapped by your disgusting ex, then you should check out David Dakota's Sorority Babes in a Slimeball Bowl-O-Rama. The plot follows an evil imp causing havoc among a group of teens in a mall. How great does that sound? But don't take my word for it, LeVar.
We're still not taking his word for it, LeVar. That hasn't changed in season 6. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this week. Thanks for leaving a rating and making it a 5-star. Obviously, very much appreciated. Thank you for leaving a comment. Thank you for sharing us and telling your friends. Check out Uncle Monster.
Most of all, I'd like to thank them for being here with us because I just love having them along for the ride. It really makes this so much fun for both of us, you know?
Yes. Without you, listeners, I could be doing anything else and I would enjoy it more. You, listeners, give this activity validity.
That's exactly what I was saying. Thank you for translating.
And thank you for checking us out on social media. You can find us on Instagram at UncleMonster6, on Blue Sky at UncleMonster.bsky.social, and you can find us on Patreon at UncleMonster6, where we've got a bunch of fun bonus episodes. Right now, we're going through the Paranormal Activity franchise.
How about that YouTube? What's going on with that?
That YouTube! You can find us on YouTube at UncleMonsterPodcast, where we've got a bunch of fun videos that we've been doing. Reacting to the most horrible things that we can find. So if you want to see me genuinely disgusted and you want there to be a visual component to that disgust, check out Uncle Monster Podcast over on YouTube. We got some great stuff.
Man, I love you guys. I can't wait to see you next time. We're going to have an awesome new monster. We're going to have new videos up. You guys are going to check out our socials. But in the meantime, there's just one thing I want you to do for me, okay? Just...
Don't get spooked.